Swinging spells down the street, same old decks we played last week. It's MTG in quarantine. We're all right. We're all right. MTG in quarantine podcast. Hey, hey, what is up, everybody? My name is MJ, and you are listening to the one and only MTG in quarantine podcast, where our motto is EDH, community, now and always. Before I get started with the rest of today's episode, I'd like to give a huge shout out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bents, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And you can pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming. That is inkedgaming.com. Get two really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look killer. You're going to want one for you and all of your friends for conventions or Friday Night Magic or whatever you're doing out there. You're going to go want one for you and all your friends. So, again, you can find the link in the episode description. Basically, click on the Linktree link. Go to Inked Gaming. That's inkedgaming.com. Use my affiliate link. Every purchase helps support the channel. It's greatly appreciated. All right, so we've got another awesome CEDH deck tech here on the show, trying to bring you all the awesome cutting edge and the latest CEDH decks out there so you can make some very interesting decisions on what you want to play your next CEDH night. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce this very, very gruel episode, and in order to talk about an awesome deck that I haven't really faced before, but I'm going to learn a lot more about just now, I'm going to introduce today's episode guest, Priscilla. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, no problem. But before we get started here, where can people find your content on the internet?
Yeah, I mostly post on Twitter, which is at your Priscilla or your underscore Priscilla on Twitter. I don't do a lot of content-y type stuff. I mostly just do like CDH deck tech type stuff for this deck specifically, and like tournament breakdowns when I'm competing in tournaments. So those are like my biggest things that I post still. But yeah, still go follow me on there. It'd be cool.
Awesome. Yeah, it seems like you're playing a lot of Mox Masters these days. I think that's what I've mostly seen lately on your Twitter, at least in regards to this deck.
Yeah, ton of Mox Masters. I was also at Punt City. And then I'm taking a tiny bit of a break because I just moved, so might have to take a month or two off from competing and just kind of retuning things a little bit, but then gonna get back into the grind of stuff once things are picking up again.
All right, sounds good. So the reason why you're guesting here today is because I'm going to be featuring your Minsk and Boo Timeless Heroes Hampter mid-range deck, and that's obviously with the quotations here, or you know, maybe not necessarily with the quotation marks. I love doing scare quotes, the audience knows that, but the brackets, or I'm terrible.
Parentheses, today. That one's
okay. it's been that kind of day. Okay,
I feel you.
So your Minsk and Boo Timeless Heroes mid-ranger, as you have it called on here, deck. And so in order to go through this deck tech for the audience out there, we're going to go through four main pieces here. First off, we're going to just introduce the deck, what it's looking to do. Second thing we're going to talk about is the win condition or win conditions, basically how the deck is going to try to win in a game of CDH. The third thing we're going to talk about are some of those kind of overlooked, underrated, supporting slash interesting cards that might stick out there is maybe, you know, at first glance, you think, okay, maybe they do, what's that even doing in this deck? Well, that's what this whole section is going to be for. And the last one is going to be why you, the audience, should look into playing Minsk and Boo Timeless Heroes as your next CEDH commander. So, all right, let's get us started with the very first thing here, Priscilla. What exactly does your Hamter mid-range deck look to do in a game of CEDH?
Yeah, well, the big thing is, I think like many CEDH decks, you're trying to assemble some type of combo. Usually, at least specifically in this one, you are looking for producing infinite mana. This deck kind of is unique in that it's, I think, I would say, I'm pretty sure it's the only Gruul deck that I can comfortably say is an infinite mana outlet in the command zone. So establishing that will allow you to dump all of that mana into Minsk and Boo and basically draw through your entire deck. I can go into more detail on how that works if we want to. Yeah.
But let's get started with what exactly Minsk and Boo Timeless Heroes does. So Minsk and Boo Timeless Heroes is a planeswalker costing 2 red and a green, has 3 loyalty. It reads, when Minsk and Boo Timeless Heroes enters the battlefield and at the beginning of your upkeep, you may create Boo, a legendary 1/1 red hamster creature token with trample and haste. Has a +1 ability, saying put 3 +1/+1 counters on up to 1 target creature with trample or haste. A -2 ability, sacrifice a creature. When you do, Minsk and Boo, Timeless Heroes, deals X damage to any target, where X is that creature's power. If the sacrificed creature was a hamster, draw X cards. As well as the very important little bit of text here at the bottom, Minsk and Boo, Timeless Heroes can be your commander. So I think we're starting to see where the infinite mana starts coming in here, but obviously that's just one card. We still got to get the infinite mana. How do you accomplish that?
Yeah, at least in this version that I am currently playing, the easiest way, and I think it's been the easiest way for Gruul for a while, is Dockside and Teemer Sabertooth. Like, your opponents have, you know, at least 5 artifacts or enchantments that will net you infinite mana with a Dockside ETB, and then, you know, ETBs, you make the 5, bounce it to your hand with Teemer Sabertooth, repeat, and you will net infinite mana. This deck, this current iteration of the deck, has other ways to kind of get that going without necessarily needing our commander, or without needing infinite mana, but those are kind of new techs, and stuff we can go over in later sections, but the tried and true easiest way is Dockside, Teemer Sabertooth, and Protean Hulk. Like, we run Protean Hulk in this to get those 2 pieces specifically, because our commander's also a sac outlet. So, like, super easy to just grab those 2 if we don't have other tutors for them.
All right, so now that we've discussed, you know, that you're trying to get infinite mana here, how exactly does your commander use this infinite mana to be able to win the game?
Yeah, so kind of focuses on the ETB effect of Minsk and Boo, and also it's -2. So as you've read, when it enters the battlefield, it comes out with 3 loyalty, makes a Boo token, and that's just, you know, the cast ETB, that's what you get base level. In order to turn this into like an infinite mana sink, you activate the -2 to sacrifice Boo. Mm-hmm. And then obviously that puts Minsk at 1 loyalty. So then you direct the damage at Minsk, basically killing your own commander. But that will net you a card because the hamster was the thing that was sacrificed. And with infinite mana, you'll be able to recast your commander, paying for the commander tax each time, and repeat that loop and just keep drawing until you reach one of various win con combos, there's like a bunch of layered stuff that can be done once you have drawn your entire deck, or worst case, a giant finale of devastation and just beat everyone.
Sure. So what are some of the creature combos that you use to finish off the rest of the table?
Yeah, in this version specifically, the kind of, I would say, easiest or the most popular is a Kiki Jiki combo. So it's getting Kiki Jiki, Mirror Breaker, and Hierarch's Tower Scout onto the battlefield, That will generate you infinite 3/3 creatures with haste, using Kiki to make a copy of Hyrax Tower Scout. Scout will enter, untap Kiki, and you repeat that process till you have infinite attackers and you can win the game. In my version, and this is kind of my own special spice for it, it's actually a thing that I've carried around me while I've been testing out Gruul decks, and my very first Gruul deck that I played was Rorik Thar. It was actually Skylar's Rorik Thar list. They were like my coach, basically, in learning CDH, and so this little tech that I have in here as another outlet is kind of something I've taken from them and I've carried with me. It's Magda and Terror of the Peaks, and that's mostly as a alternate way of like Magda can turn our infinite treasures into a Terror of the Peaks, and then while we are bouncing Dockside with Teemer Sabertooth Loops, that just adds one damage to any target with Terror of the Peaks out, so it turns that into a kill, and also just getting to drop a Terror of the Peaks in the game in a game of CDH is just wild and fun. So the more complicated creature stuff that is layered is like Eternal Witness layered like stuff. Bouncing, once you have infinite mana, you can bounce Eternal Witness to get back like Lightning Bolt or Delayed Blast Fireball and recast those and kill your opponents that way. Usually that's just like a post-combat, like purely if you can't go with a Kiki or like Finale to kill, like you try to go for that one. And my what I have listed in my primer as my style on them combo is if you for some reason have infinite mana, Eternal Witness, and Shatterskull Smashing, you can actually kill your opponents with the Minskin Boo damage instead of killing Minskin Boo to draw cards, because you can have Shatterskull take our commander out for recasting later. I just think that's like the it. I've never gotten to practically do it in a game yet, but it's one of those theoretical, like, if for some reason you have these cards, you got it. But yeah, those are the big ones for at least just winning the game straight out.
All right, all right. So now we're going to move on to part three here, which are some of those, as you said, stylistic cards, some of the things that maybe don't stick out as being like the win more cards, let's say, but still put in work. And I think I'm going to, start off with this little tap untap synergy got going here. You have various cards to worry about, like the Hyrax Tower Scout, but I think you're also going a little bit further. So things like Hangar Scrounger, which actually is coming out here. 2/1 dwarf pilot costing 2 and a red has backup 1. Reads, whenever this creature becomes tapped, you may discard a card if you do draw a card, as well as Sarath the Viper's Fang. So I guess I'm curious where the tap untap synergies come in this deck and how they help you win.
So funny enough, so those two parts are part of kind of their own separate two card combo-y stuff. The Sarath, another classic Gruul mid-range combo is Sarath the Viper's Fang and Goblin Sharpshooter, because that turns Goblin Sharpshooter into a board wipe that you will always have control of, and as long as you maintain your board state, you basically have a protected board wipe, so no one else can have creatures. It's a really strong combo. It's been in most mid-range Gruul lists, I think, for a while now. But the new tech is with this Hangar Scrounger, and this was something brewed up in the Gruul Brew Crew Discord. Shout out Surreal and Bones. They've both been like pivotal and like really important in helping me learn this deck, and just they're the big brewers. I'm just the person who goes out and actually plays the games a lot. But with Hangar Scrounger, the big thing is with its backup effect, which is the new effect out of March of the Machines. When it ETBs, it puts that counter on another creature and then effectively gives that creature its effect for a turn. The creature in this list that it is going to be doing that with is Seeker of Skybreak. Because Seeker can tap, and then it taps as its cost, and then can untap itself. So that turns it into the ability to kind of loot through your entire deck. And this also gives us a way, way more, like, beneficial way to run Breach in our own lists. So we can effectively, once we have these two creatures set up, usually, you know, the Skybreak will be out first before, you know, for a turn. Once we have that set up, we can basically loot through our whole library until we hit Breach and kind of do Gruul Breach combo stuff to get everything else. There are also some people who are running this as a Hulk pile. They are running in Torch Courier and like Snoop stuff as well, because that layers with Torch Courier. In my own testing, I haven't liked it, only because I feel like I draw those pieces a little bit more, and then it's committing a little too much onto the Hulk side of it, which I think is more of a bonus for this deck and not the focus. So that's why I'm not on Courier. I'm not on Snoop. I know it's going to break Surreal's heart that I'm not on Snoop, but yeah, that's the long spiel of all the untappy shenanigans.
Yeah, I mean, when I did see Hulk here on the list, I figured, yes, that does get most of your combos. But yeah, the fact that it's not your main combo, I think it's important to say here. It's like, it's in there if you can get it to work, but you're not going all in on like a 4 or 5 part Hulk combo.
Yeah, and that's really like the big thing. At least that's my mentality. I've been going in with it. I think, yeah, I've always just viewed it as, this is a nice bonus. Like, if I happen to be able to natural order Hulk into play by, you know, sacrificing one of my mana dorks to get a Hulk, I'm like, easy. Like, I'm cheating this Hulk in, or like Eldritch Evolutioning the Hulk in with Rarik Thar or one of my other 5-drops or whatever. Like, then it's like, yeah, that's great. Like, that was easy to cheat out. But I don't aim personally to try and like turbo out Hulk as fast as possible just to sack it and win. I think this deck draws enough cards on its own where you will naturally kind of build up enough advantage and get to those combo pieces without needing to hard focus on Hulk.
Mm-hmm. And your commander allows you to sacrifice Hulk. So that's, in case anyone out there was wondering, you know, how do you sacrifice Hulk? Minsk and Boo, or sorry, Minsk does that fairly well.
Yeah, that's how I call them. Like, I know technically the commander is Minsk and Boo, Timeless Heroes, but when I'm playing, I differentiate them as, like, Minsk is the Planeswalker, and then, you know, Boo is what's on board. That just, so far, has been helpful for people keeping track of things, because it gets confusing if I'm like, okay, so you're going to attack Minsk and Boo, but then Boo is here, and just names are crazy.
Kitty! Yeah, that's not confusing at all. All of a sudden, now we need to have a Disney reference in here for whatever reason. But yeah, and yes, you did mention drawing cards here. I did notice you have Toski in here, who is just an all-star for drawing cards. Oh, yeah. For anyone who does know what Toski does, 1/1 squirrel costing 3 green, can't be countered, indestructible, attacks each combat available, and whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. As well as just some good green value engines, I'd say, that just allow you to hit in for a lot of damage, draw some extra cards. Professional Facebreaker, Manglehorn can do things. You know, just some good ways to be able to get those cards whenever Toski's out there. So just, yeah, getting your card advantage, making sure you hopefully don't die before you can pull off your creature combos.
Yeah, and the deck is, like, surprisingly, I don't know if I would say, like, it's not necessarily great at slowing everyone else down, but we get to run a decent amount of interaction, at least the interaction that Gruul has access to, which is the biggest weakness of this, is just we're in Gruul. But yeah, like, I, at least with my own little analysis of playing in these tournaments and everything, a lot of decks are so focused on the grind and the value right now, and there's a lot of creature focused strategies. And those take some extra time, and I think that helps us. I also have been I play against like a Rog'Sai player pretty regularly, and whenever I playing whenever I'm up against them, it's like I don't feel like I'm like turboed out too quickly. Like I still feel good about the speed of this deck in comparison to other things. Obviously, we're not a turbo deck, so might still get shut out by a like turn two win from Rog'Sai every now and then, but that happens to everyone, so yeah.
For sure. And yeah, there is quite a bit of interaction in here. You're not leaving yourself defenseless effectively.
Yeah,
That's
and the big card I would, if I can, talk about for
Yeah, go
interaction,
ahead.
is another huge love to Bones in the Grill Discord, because they've been helping me so much. It is Rending Volley. This card is cracked. It is crazy. Every time I've resolved this card, or every time I've cast it, every person in the pod goes, "I need to get a copy of that. That's nuts!" And like, kills Chrom, kills Winota,
Kills Drana.
kills Drannith, kills like it kills like every basically everything that we can't normally deal with or like that we have some troubles with. And it was originally just an anti-Chrom tech, because unfortunately with how our commander is, it only has four loyalty the turn you drop it, so a Chrom flying at you kills Minsk. But with a Rending Volley, it's just like, nope, I'm just gonna take this, I'm gonna snipe this Chrom out of the air, and it's so nice.
Yes, I picked up Rending Volley because I'm a Godo player, right? I talk about
Ah,
this
nice.
on the show, and it's like I need to kill Drannith Magistrate. That is always my biggest boogeyman right there. And so I mean, I actually double up on the Rending Volley for X. I've also thrown Fry in there as well, which does the
Ooh.
same thing for one more mana, just to have a backup. So now I can kill two white or blue creatures effectively. But yeah, Rending Volley is an MVP. In fact, it costs one mana, can't be countered. I mean, this right here, if people are still sleeping on this, they need to wake up because Rending Volley is a really good card.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah, great, great stuff.
And I think just if I can for like,
Yeah,
there's one more
go
card I
ahead.
want to shout out. Because it was a card I had cut for a while when I was playing, because I didn't see the light yet. And it's a card that is a casual staple, at least I think a casual staple in 1/1 counters decks, but is huge in this, and it is Taurean Mauler. It's a 3-mana 2/2 changeling. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, it gets a 1/1 counter. And I was a non-believer. I was like, 3-mana? Like, I know it'll get a bunch of counters, but like, is this really worth it? Yeah. Every single time I've resolved this card, everyone in the pod is just like, okay. It doesn't have trample, right? So like, what's the problem? And then,
Hamster. It's a hamster. That's
yeah,
why.
it's a hamster. So then they're like, everyone will play, if everyone just plays a single card in a turn cycle that it's out, and then we drop Minskin Boo, it is drawing you like five cards. And nobody's gonna just play a single card in this turn cycle, because everyone's got like mana rocks and stuff. So an early Taurean Mauler is just like the craziest. It's just so good. And I was a non-believer, and I've been converted. It's
Oh
perfect.
yes,
I love
Taurean
this card.
Mauler. Again, just in the personal side story here, is I used to have a flingy type effect deck where Taurean Mauler is one of those things you can build up really quickly and then just throw it at someone's face. So yeah, and this deck kind of takes that to the extreme, honestly. It's like, and for me, it's like, hey, if I could hit someone for 7/8, you know, that could kill someone maybe. Well, for you, it's like, well, I get this 20/20 Taurean Mauler and I draw 20 cards off it. I mean, that's crazy.
Literally, that's one of my matches at Punt City. It was like, I think it was my round three match, and I was like, basically, I forget what the other two people in the pod were, but someone was on Lazav, and I had stopped them with a Noxious Revival and kind of like screwed up their graveyard combo stuff. And then while they were trying to combo, they realized I had a Taurean Mauler out, and they were like, They were at like 11, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna kill you with the Taurian Mauler fling. And they were like, I never thought I would die to a Taurian Mauler in CEDH. And as soon as I did it, I was like, it just felt so good, and I was in full control of that game, and it was awesome. So yeah, it's just one of the neat cards. I have a whole section on my primer just talking about Taurian Mauler, because I needed to. I literally say like, I'm sorry, Taurian Mauler, I was wrong. You're the real MVP.
I'm gonna ask about one more card here. I mean, I know why it's here, but I think the folks at home want to hear about it because it's a new card, and that is Invasion of Ikoria. So, talk us through the inclusion of this two-part tutor card, and let the folks at home know just why it has such a large price tag right now.
Oh my God. It's like, so for people who don't know Invasion of Ikoria, it is two green and X. It's one of the new battle cards in March of the Machines. And so when it enters the battlefield, you can tutor for any non-human creature in your graveyard or library and put it onto the battlefield. Being a battle, it also kind of comes out onto the battlefield, stays on there, and it has, I don't know what the terminology is, like toughness. I don't know what they're called. I haven't actually looked at the terminology for like their health for a battle, but it has six, which means if you deal six damage to it, it will flip. And the flip side is Zelortha, Apex of Ikoria, which is an 8/8 reach, and all your non-humans basically are unblockable. Like they're still blockable, but they assign combat damage as though they weren't blocked. It's a second copy of Finale of Devastation, and in our deck specifically, it is so easy to flip it. And getting an 8/8 reach that makes a majority of our powerful creatures that aren't, because I'm just even looking at the list right now, like most of our humans are like kind of support creatures, all the rest non-humans, and we are just like, there have been games so far where I'm not even gonna go for a combo win. I'm just like, I've resolved Invasion of Ikoria, I hit it with a 7/7 boo, it flips, and then next turn I'm essentially dealing 30 damage to whoever I want to start taking out. With like whatever board state I have set up. And it's crazy. It's such a good card. Like, yeah. At worst, it is a second finale. At best, it's another win con in the deck for actual like combat beatdown wins.
And that's what's really cool about these CDH decks is that cards keep coming out and people are willing to make changes to maybe pivot if they have to, but add new cards into these lists. And I think that's really the take home. If I haven't made it clear, audience, take this one to heart, is that CDH is not some static object. You know, there are new cards coming in all the time that change things, change how you do things. And add value, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really cool to see how you've been able to add a brand new card to this list and really open up a brand new, I'd say, alternate win condition, I
Yeah.
guess.
Yeah, it's especially there are so many games now, especially like with the prevalence of creature strategies that can just go to creature beats as a win con, or like that's, you know, board might be fully stacked out, or you know, the turbo player can't do anything through a deafening silence or whatever. And for us, we're like, oh, I don't need to worry about us like getting comboed. We'll just pivot. Like, we're suddenly Winota, and we're gonna just start beating people to death, and it's so
All
good.
right, yeah, so now we've talked about all of those cards and the cool things that they do. So we've gotten to the last section here, and that is your personal pitch for why folks should look into playing Minsk and Boo. And Boo.
I mean, the base level pitch for it is, if you like gruel, like do this. Like, this is like the grueliest gruel other than maybe like Rurikthar, and we get to run Rurikthar in the 99. So like, it's card advantage in the command zone, which is something that gruel has always had a problem with. It's an infinite mana outlet in the command zone, which which is another thing Gorilla's always had a problem with. And it's just like a fun, like, if you know, if you like beating people with a hamster, like that's as simple as that. Like it's you've a ton of fun stuff you get to do. Also, not a lot of people know what our deck does. We are kind of playing it's still kind of a rogue deck, I would say. More and more people, especially as like me, Surreal, Bones, like a couple of people are picking this up more. More people are starting to pick up on what the deck does, and it's awesome because then that leads to innovation. But you also get to just like kind of scare your pod a little bit if you show up with like, hey, here's I've got Minskaboo, and everyone's like, what does that card even do? Can I read it? And that's what happened at this past weekend. I was in Command Fest Seattle playing in a little like CDH tourney type thing, and every pod, someone had to like reread what my commander did because they had zero idea. They'd never even heard of Minskaboo, and yeah, it just feels good to kind of be on not the usual stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with like playing the good stuff, because they're good for a reason. But yeah, the main reason I have stuck with Gruul is I just want to push it. Like, I like to push it, and if that's like what you are into and playing something that's not the meta and can still hang, then I would say do it. It's definitely worth it. It's very rewarding.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me here today, Priscilla. It's been awesome having you and awesome talking about, and I'm going to say this again, Minskaboo and Boo.
Yeah. I'm very glad I was here. Thank you for having me on. It's like, it was very cool. It's like, I don't know, I've never done something like this before, so it's super awesome, and I'm really happy.
Yeah, no problem. I really love having all these deck techs on here. I learned a lot about this deck, and now if I ever sit down across from this, I will probably know how to combat it, or at least kind of know what's coming. So I guess that's hidden information. It's good for me as a CDH player.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's definitely worth people keeping their eye out on this. I think Minskaboo, in my opinion, is the current peak of what Gruul can do, and until more cards come out that might push things other ways, I think people should start learning what this deck does. So,
all right, sounds good. And if you're interested in hearing any of the previous CDH deck techs I've done here on the MTG in Quarantine podcast channel, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. There's your Googles, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rockcast, Podcast, Overcast, Breaker, and a million others. I never remember all of them, but if it's a major podcast outlet, you can probably find my podcast on there. You can also find me on the Twitters at MTG in Quarantine. And again, you can find all the other links, especially to my Instagram, over at my link tree, which will be in the episode description. I'd like to utilize this opportunity again to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. Huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bence, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J. Rowe for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.